This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Brady always makes fun of me for saying every Monday at right around 9:30. Just waiting on Pete, and he should be here any minute. I'm sure he'll be pretty pumped up after a great game yesterday. Great energy in the building. The throwback thing was sweet, man. They look great. You know what else looked good? Did you see the Titans with the old Oilers jerseys?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think the creamsicles, I think all of them.
They've all looked awesome.
Yeah, there's something about just kind of the brightness of colors in that era.
Yeah.
And then it kind of went like all sleek and slick and, I don't know, kind of muted some of the colors a little bit. And so
there's some good uniforms out there, but see, like, I like the Seahawks normal uniform, so I don't think they need to go to throwbacks full time. Tennessee, sorry, those Oilers uniforms are 1,000 times better than what you wear normally. And same with Tampa. I do not care for the Tampa unis, and the creamsicles are classic and
What about a color shout? What about if the Seahawks went to like a gray or silver helmet? What if they kept everything else, the wolf gray, the blue, the white, all everything else? But what
I
if they
know.
Just
I'd have to see that in order to kind of understand what that would look like. But the whole scene yesterday was top notch, and obviously to get a late game win like that, that's
and
exactly
the coaching
what
staff hoodies
for.
Look good too. Pete looked good in that 80s.
Good.
Yeah,
I know it's a good look.
Pete looks good in flannels. Pete looks good. Yeah, Pete looks good in the 80s stuff. Pete looks good all the time.
Well, we both wore flannel today for Pete. No flannel from Pete. Go figure. Yeah, let's talk to the coach.
We're just getting warmed up. Come on, let's go.
Pete Carroll Show. The first word from the Seahawks head coach every Monday at 9:30 with Brock and Salk. Presented by the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook and Top Fitness.
Coach, can you win the game in the first quarter?
I don't think so.
I've been told you cannot win it until the fourth quarter, and it seemed like yesterday was a pretty good example of that.
Wow, it sure was a great finish, man. But all the way, the whole sequence, I can't wait to talk to the players about it and just take them through it, and so that we can, you know, get as much out of it as possible. But to stop them, to take the ball off them, and then to go right down the score and then stop them again at the end, it was really fun to see that.
How many headers like that have you seen in your 50-some years of coaching or 40-some years?
No, I went all the way back. The last really good example was when Bobo Brazil did the cocoa butt against Mitsu Awakawa in All-Star Wrestling back in the day.
That is old school. Those are names I'm unfamiliar with. Right. Is that like that's predate Hulk Hogan?
Oh, yeah. That's way back.
Is that like Killer Kowalski time?
Yes. Yeah, he was right in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the energy like in the building yesterday?
Oh, man, it was great. It was a fantastic day at the stadium. And the fans had to endure the dip that we had, you know, where we couldn't get the ball moving. And they just hung with us, and then they were right on it when the time came and rode it home, you know. I think that's one of the reasons we love coming to these games, and the fans love coming because, you know, you get surprised and then you get exhilarated and then you get to enjoy it and take it home with you and all that. I'm sure your show's been great, you know, all those comments.
I mean, it always is.
It's having a blast, you know. And then all the colors yesterday too, you know. Golly, what a day. It was really fun.
That Cleveland team is pretty real, though, physically, huh, Pete?
Oh, they are for sure. They look good. They're loaded with guys, and they're tough. You know, they almost did it with the running the football and playing defense, man. They almost got it done, and we were fortunate to get out of there.
Yeah, I look back at some of your numbers that you've kind of taught us through the years, the number of runs plus completions, and they were like 56 to 40 in the time of possession, obviously. Right. As you said, with the dip, they controlled so much of that. But yet, this is a game, as you said, post-game about hanging around and hanging around and hanging around and finding a way to finish. I thought that was just on full display as much as anything.
Yeah, I think Gino, you know, finishing with the guys on offense and the way we protected down the stretch and the guys making the catches, you know, and catch and run with Noah, and of course the game winner with Jackson, you know, all of those things were really really on display. And our guys looked. It was so cool to watch the TV copy. So you see the close-ups, and you see the looks in the eye. You can see Evan Brown. You can see the different guys. You know, their focus during that time was perfect, and they played almost perfect snaps to win the game.
How do you assess a day like that from Gino?
He got it done. You know, he got it done. He made some great plays and he got it done. And there's some plays in there that weren't a sharp. You know, we just missed some throws. And I think he rushed a couple throws, you know, just trying to get the ball out fast. It was such a big emphasis during the week that he wasn't quite as clean on the throws as he is normally. But, you know, what do you want? He won't be perfect. We're trying. But he did a great job. And the start was ridiculously on point, and then the finish was perfectly on point. So I'll take it.
How much do you like or put value on a final drive in the last 2
minutes?
Oh, like,
man, it's so important, because that's what we're always living with. These games are always so close. We're always living with those, you know, the prevailing opportunity. Can you do it when the time comes? Yeah, we can, and our guys know that, and that's so valuable to reinforce it. You get the belief and the knowing to the height that you can get it to, and then great things happen. I mean, how in the world did Jamal come up with that play? You know, but he did, and a great catch on the other end, you know, by Julian, and here we go. And so, amazing stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he used, like, that's one of those things that you just can't coach, right? Yeah, I mean, you guys do all sorts of drills imaginable. But then you get into a situation like that where he doesn't have time to get his hands up, and that is just, once again, you know, the word you like to use, awareness, to use his head as you watch a replay of that, right?
I mean, he did it. Yeah, he purposely tried to hit the thing with his head, you know, and he got it done somehow, you know. What a marvelous moment.
How many heroes in that game yesterday for your team?
I'll tell you, the heroes were the tackles. What a great job Charles Cross did. A fantastic job. He took a guy that's like the hottest guy in the game and played him all the way to the hilt. And Stone did his job on the other side. And then in the last drive, they moved Miles over to the other side. And here we go. JP's up against Miles Garrett. And he handled it right through the whole thing, you know. And a guy who's an incredible football player looked like a regular guy for those moments. And so that's what we hope to do. And when guys come through, when teams come through, they make other teams look normal when they're really good. And this was a loaded freaking team, and we took them on and slugged it out and got it done.
Brock was talking earlier about the depth on your offensive line. Maybe there have been better offensive line groups, I don't know, but is this about as deep an offensive line group as you've
by
had?
By far it is, yeah, by far it is. We, the guys to be able to come through in all of through these tough games and play at the same level as the starters, that's been a remarkable, kind of a quiet, you know, line in this early part of the season. So it's guys came through. I was so fired up about Charles, because that's Charles arriving now. He was up against it, and Stone played great, and then Jason, you know, we got a chance to play him. We just rotated him because he deserved to get in there, and it wasn't anything that Stone did wrong at all. We just played the guys, and they all came through.
I think we've talked about this through the years a bunch, and I think you and Saban and Belichick are all in the same accord. You like big people.
All creation.
Yes. If everything is even, this was at USC and certainly is carried through here. If everything is even amongst prospects, guy, just over time, durability and everything else. Right now, when Peters and Bradford are at right tackle and right guard, have you ever in your years of coaching had two bigger humans on one side of the line?
Yeah, no, I don't know that we had. Isn't that something, though? I mean, that's the yin and the yang of it, man. One guy just starting, one guy at the end of, you know, culminating an extraordinary career. That's a cool relationship right there. No, but they're, you know, 360s. And let me say this. When Jason came in here, he said he was going to lose 15 pounds. He just did. He lost 15 pounds up until this time. He got his weight down where he wanted it to be. So he's probably more in the high 40s right now. He's not as big as some of those numbers could be.
What do we see? Bradford was listed at 330 something. That doesn't feel right.
No, he's a little bigger than that.
It feels like maybe he's bigger than that.
Yeah, Peters was listed at 328. So.
Yeah. Okay. We're JP's on the way down.
Close.
You know, AB's kind of on the way up. You know, he's never been fed this well. I don't think. I mean, he's got three. You know, hasn't quite figured out how to balance that yet, but he's working on it. We're on him.
He's a pretty interesting player out there, though.
Yes, he is.
What has he done as a rookie playing guard and playing both sides, if I'm not mistaken? But just getting in there and kind of, it doesn't seem like you guys have lost a beat when he's in there. If anything, maybe you've gotten better.
He's really physical, and I think I've probably said that to you a few times. If you watch the games, there'll be a handful of plays he's just going to destroy the guy that he's blocking, and that's unusual. You know that he's got that. It doesn't always work for him. I mean, he's not always, you know, calling on it properly and technique wise and tactically, but he's getting better and he's learning, he's busting his tail and he's doing good. You know, he still makes some errors because he's a pup, you know, but it's the physical side of it that makes him unique. And so hopefully we can just keep building on that.
Did we get a little taste of what you guys envisioned when you took Charbonnet in the second round? A little taste of what a 1-2 punch with a different skill set that Ken and Zach bring?
Isn't it obvious? I mean, it's clear. Zach had a great finish to the game, and K-9 did great. He had a terrific game. Didn't get the ball very much. We didn't just run the ball enough. You know, we averaged over 6 yards a carry. We didn't run the ball enough to take advantage of it. But you saw Zach, you know, just slashing and hitting it. That was a really good illustration of what we're hoping. You know, we plan on continuing to see from him.
He looks like he takes some people out too in the blocking game.
Yes, he's physical. Yeah, he does everything well. He really does. He's a remarkable young player.
Well, just to stay on the offense, and then I definitely want to make sure we get to this defense and the game that they had. But, you know, your wide receivers, all three guys really sort of had interesting games in their own way. But I want to start with Tyler Lockett just because we always forget. Shame on us. Shame on everybody around the league. They just all forget about Tyler Lockett. I know there was he was on the injury report during the week. He didn't look injured to me. He looked like he was just freaking awesome.
No, and I think he would tell you that they really managed him well during the week. He did not practice very much during the week. He was kind of on the side working out and making sure that we were getting everything right, and they maximized the week perfectly, and he had a terrific game. The early part of the game, he was controlling the game and coming through, and just the way he does it, you know, just that beautiful, subtle way that he plays. But you could see how connected he was to Geno, and those guys were really hitting it.
Pete, I don't know where you were in 1976 through the 80s and how much you watched the Seahawks and in those uniforms and Steve Largent, but when I watched Lockett, that was my childhood, was watching Steve Largent. And man, just from a feel, always open, a presence, that what you talk about, the attention to detail at practice that Zorn would talk about, taking it to the game, it just feels like with the sustainability that Tyler's had and the durability in his career, man, just watching in the throwbacks yesterday, there is a lot of Steve Largent in his game to me.
Yeah, well, you're seeing guys that are at the top of the curve, I guess. I don't know, whatever it is. You know, at the top of the heap of understanding how to play. They have a deeper relationship with the game and the ability to come up with the right choice and the right option and the right way to manage the situation that's available to them. And maximizing it, and Steve was incredible. You know, I have an old story about Steve when he played again in Charles Rome when I was coaching at Buffalo a million years ago. I probably told you this before, but Charles Rome said the hardest guy he ever played against was Steve Largent, not because of the balls that he caught, because how hard he worked throughout the game, that he was so stressed as a cornerback covering him because you thought the ball was coming to him every time. Mm-hmm. And that pressure that he put on made guys kind of wilt as during the course of a game, and he just wear you out, you know. And so that's something that Largent brought that I don't know that anybody brings it like that. But Tyler brings that consistent playmaking, that's consistent a positioning, you know, that always makes him available, and then he always comes through. He always comes through, you know, and so it's an amazing connection. And I think that he's a throwback. He is really the foundation of what this game's all about. He's one of those guys.
Are we starting to see maybe scratching the surface of what Jaxon Smith-Njigba can do?
I totally think so. Yeah, I totally think so. He's got the same makeup as those guys. He has the same sense and awareness. He shows you every day the catches and the soft hands and the positioning and the body movements and stuff that just demonstrate that he's got all of that awareness.
And then the big boy, DK, targeted 14 times yesterday. A lot of one-on-ones, a lot of man-to-man. He certainly won his battles. As you said, I think, Geno, you said that right, kind of sped up at times and missing maybe some accuracy throws that he doesn't normally miss. But it certainly seemed like DK was all in yesterday.
Yeah, and, you know, he was sick as a dog the night before the game. Sick. And when he got to the stadium, you know, and he looked like he was weary and all that, but he said he could do it, and he came through. Man, I mean, really sick. He had to leave the team meetings to go get sick, and we were all just feeling for him, but he came through and had a terrific game. He was really focused, and Bud Grant used to say that when guys are sick on game day, they play their best games. I don't know. He played a heck of a game.
Let's go to the other side of the ball, and the guy that just continues to jump off the screen for me is Boye Mafe. I mean, five games in a row now with a sack. I know he's young, and maybe there's mistakes he's making that I don't see because I don't know enough about what's going on in the game. But I saw four, five, six plays where he just jumps off the screen making a really dynamic play.
Yeah, that's the truth. And I'm seeing it just like you are. I'm so fired up for him. And he's so humble. I heard him interviewed after the game. So humble and gets it. And he's just getting going. You know, I say that just because he's emerging. But, man, he's playing good football. He's playing as good as anybody. I think his pressure numbers are, like, right on top of the league. Percentage pressure, you know, per rush and all that. So, yeah. And, I'll tell you this. I think it's Derek Hall coming, too. Derek is so similar in his makeup. I think he could be that same kind of player for us. And DT's playing well, too, so we're in pretty good shape. Frankie played okay yesterday,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, it was a little different seeing Frank in 57. How did he come through?
Yeah, he did okay. You know, he got here on Thursday, you know, so and hurt, you know, had to just scramble to get him ready, and Clint did a great job to get that done.
He can't be happy with 57. It's just not the right look. It looks like it's hard to look fast.
It's his college number,
57.
I think, isn't it? I think 57 is his college
It is,
number.
But you can't look fast in 57. Oh, yeah. That's not a fast guy.
He'll make it look good.
He's going to make it look good. All right. What was the plan for Myles Garrett? I mean, you sort of talked about how Charles did a great job, but you and I, when you left here last week, I said, hey, you know, there's this Myles Garrett guy. What's your plan? You said, I don't know. Maybe we'll figure it out this week. It seems like you came up with something. What did you do effectively against Myles Garrett?
Really, we did everything. We did everything that you can do to affect a rusher. You know, we turned protections to him. We chipped him. We doubled him. We did a lot of things. And the plan was great. Andy and Khalid just did a fantastic job of convincing our guys how to do it, and they carried it out. And like I said, the tackles were really the stars in the game to me.
Yeah, just a lot of mix. As you do look at the second and third quarter, Pete, is it as simple as just converting third downs offensively, getting more snaps, getting more plays to kind of get out of some of that slog?
Playing against a really good defense, it's really hard to go the whole field and to work your way down the field. The first drive, we had a 45-yard run. The second drive, I think we had – it was a sudden change. We got the ball at the 41. The third drive, I think we hit DK on the big play. Yep. And those big plays contributed to switching the field, and we scored on those drives. And unfortunately, we didn't have the explosive plays with the great field position to take advantage of it. And that's just playing a great defense. And that's why it's a slugfest, and you're going to play it all the way to the end. And fortunately, we turn the ball over at the last – we get the turnover right at the end of the game, I don't know, at the 40 or something like that, and we just, to get the field position, it was about a 25-yard drive. To win the game, it was, you know, a 60-yard drive, and we were able to put it together. So I think it's different than, what, you know, like we just fell apart, or we didn't act, we didn't get the situations that were necessary to play against a defense that's that good. So, you know, that's a little different way of looking at it from our perspective. But we want to drive the whole field. We like it, and we'd like to create the explosive play that changed the field position, but they're hard to come by against a team like that.
Well, I'm going to guess that's going to be the next couple of months. I mean, you get a lot of teams coming up with similar.
That's it.
Similar kinds of.
And it's like you know, I know it maybe sound like we're BSing here, but we need to play teams like that. You need to play against those teams, and you need to find your way through to find the success, because it's coming again. It just makes you better, makes you stronger, and if we can make teams like that look a little bit more normal, then we got a chance to win in every game. And so. That was a great accomplishment, really, for us to get through and to finish that thing and to win it. So, it's already gone. What are we going to do now? You know, is what's at hand. So we'll see.
Well, before you take on Baltimore next week, tomorrow is the trade deadline. Do you expect to be active before the trade deadline?
We're always competing. You know, there's a chance to do something. We're available. I wish somebody would call and have a great idea for us, but I don't know. He's on it.
Would you like to see them move the trade deadline back? Brock had mentioned it earlier. I mean, it's not even halfway through the season. Baseball does it two-thirds of the way through so that more teams know exactly where they are. Are they in? Are they out? Et cetera. Would you want to see them move it back?
Yeah, I would. I would like to see it a little later in the season, just so that you have more opportunities to figure it out. I mean, it just extends the opportunity for teams to do stuff. But, there's not that much trading that goes on, you know, and so it's a big build up to this day, and everybody's holding their breath and all that, and you'll see what happens. But, I think it should be later.
How much of that also, Pete, is just frankly in this league job security? I mean, how many teams, like in baseball, you know, teams can tear it down and we're going to start this thing over and we got years and years to build this thing and go through the minors and develop guys. It just feels like the NFL never has that kind of patience. It never has that kind of time to develop.
Yeah, it's not the same. It doesn't feel the same at all, you know, because you really, we don't make moves to develop guys and stuff like that. I mean, you try to do something to fill a spot, or, you know, you get your quarterback hurt, you try to do something, you try to fill, really, you're mostly is backfilling the problems that you've incurred during the season, you know, for the most part. But I don't know, it's just different, yeah, and it's not that big a deal, you know, unless you can do something really special.
Then it becomes a huge deal.
Yeah.
Was Marshawn a trade deadline deal? I remember it was a deal, but it wasn't it around the trade deadline that you guys found Marshawn?
Did it go that late? I know I was clamoring on that one forever. I remember it was 5 months of dogging John. He was so tired of me.
What was it? Why did you want Marshawn?
Because he was...
I mean, it turned out pretty well. But
yeah,
because he was
such a unique character. That's why. It was because he was such a unique guy. I thought maybe when we were trying to establish what it was like to have a mentality for the running game and build our team and all that, I thought he might be able to be a guy that could, you know, kind of stand for that. And we lucked out. It worked out.
I noticed this yesterday watching Charbonnet. Not that he's Marshawn, but some of that sort of like moving in odd directions in the open field where you never know which direction he's going to turn next.
Yeah, he's got a little bit.
Is there a little Marshawn in there?
Well, no, he's not like that. Nobody's like Marshawn.
Okay, fair.
But in my opinion, but he's got his own way, though. He's got this thing about him. He looks kind of like he's a little out of control. He's a little awkward or whatever. But every step he takes is strong. It's like Chris Carson was, too. Every step, we're just loaded with you know, strength and energy, and it could explode. And it makes it hard to get him down. You know, it's a real nice combination he has.
Is John hoping you extend this interview a little bit longer? Is this the week that he changes his locks and his number? And that I could just imagine you, Pete. Hey, what about this? Hey, what do you?
Oh, I got you. Yeah. Well, either competing or not. You know, yeah, I'm kind of working the halls. I did call him last night and this morning.
You had a couple ideas, a couple of thoughts,
a couple of this and that.
A couple of this and that.
Brock,
you and I were talking about the screens earlier, and it seemed like Cleveland found some success in the screen game. And Brock talked about some of the creativity they had. I wondered whether some of that was maybe, you know, a weakness of the style of defense you guys have been playing, with the way you've been using the safeties.
Like
it
looked like it yesterday. We couldn't slow them down. They had 120-something yards in screens. They threw for 230, you know. I mean, so and 7 completions on screens. You know, and the quarterback that struggled a little bit with his numbers. I mean, he was around 50%, but 7 of his completions were screens. They executed them beautifully, and their guys that ran with the football maxed them out. They did a great job. But so you can have a way of looking at it, we have to respond to those things differently than we did. We didn't feel them. We practiced them all week. This was not something we weren't working on. Screens in practice are not as they're harder to simulate because the tempo isn't quite right. But to really max those, but we just missed a couple senses that we could have had. Frankie had one on the first one that he did perfectly in practice the other day, and he didn't quite. He got to rush in, and the guy did a nice job of setting him up. And you saw, I think Jamal had one that he reacted to and couldn't get his way through it, and they just hit him, you know. And unfortunately, that was a big part of the game plan for them. And we'll play them better. We've been playing them well all season. We played them really well. We've got guys in Jordan Brooks has been great against screens, and we just didn't quite find our way to him, and we just have to do it better.
If you have any more problems, there's a guy who comes on our show every Wednesday for about an hour who could probably help out. That KJ Wright fellow is always pretty good.
KJ was
pretty good against the screens.
He was the screen master.
Sort of
his
thing. Coach, 5-2, first place, second place right now in the NFC. Pretty good spot to be with Baltimore on tap.
Let's go. It's a big week. It's going to be a good one.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you next Monday.
See you.